Our readings from Scripture this morning is from the Old Testament book of Ruth. We will spend a few weeks more in this book. We will read the very same chapter we read from last week, which is chapter 1, only a few verses from that, verse 4 and then 11 to 15. And then we will also read from John chapter 6, verses 60 to 69. Lord God, we just thank you that, Father, in your wisdom, you gave us this book, your word, so that we might have something to go to find your truth in. And Lord, so this morning as we read from your scripture, we pray that your Holy Spirit would just guide our thoughts and our understanding, so that these words that we read here will truly become part of us and who we are and how we serve you. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Ruth chapter 1 verse 4. They married Moabite woman, one named Orpah, and the other Ruth, after they've lived there for about 10 years. Both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And then we go to verse 11. But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." Now turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 6, and we read the story of how many of the Jesus' disciples deserted him. Verse 60, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe, who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave me too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." These are the words of God. And the Lord blessed us to our understanding. Jock, I've got a slide here which I need you to put up for me. That's the heading of our morning service. I've named it, "We've Got a Choice to Stay or to Walk Away." We're busy with Ruth and Naomi, and we're busy with a series where we're talking on building lasting relationships. And this morning we're going to focus on one of these ladies there. You will see old Naomi and Ruthie in front. And at the back, the lady in red is Orpah. Turned away and walked away from this relationship. We live in a world that's full of choices. We live in a world where we, every day of our lives, we have to make a choice. We have to decide on what we're going to wear in the morning, what we're going to eat, when we're going to eat, and everything we deal with almost has a choice that goes with it. We had a choice this morning: do we come here, or do we stay at home? Do we sleep a little bit later, or do we get up and go to church? And so it is in relationships as well. We have to make choices, and every time in our relationship that we actually have to speak to someone or do something with someone, we have to make a choice. And when things are not going well in our relationships, we have to make choices, like a choice: do we stay or do we move on? Do we try to fix this, or do we simply just walk away? And the choices we make actually matters. The choices we make affects our own lives. It affects our lives, it affects our happiness, it affects the way we feel about ourselves, but it also affects the way others feel about us as well. And it affects the lives of other people as well. So last week when we started with Ruth, we heard of how Naomi's husband, Elimelech, of how his bad choices he made, how that affected his family. Of how this choice that he made to move away from where he was, in his promised land, his inheritance, to move to the land of Moab, how that eventually placed these three women in a place where they were destituted. We heard how him and his sons both died in a strange country, removed from their heritage, removed from their God. And as we sit here today, living in a world where we have to make choices, as we sit here, we are at this moment the product of the choices we have made in our lives. We are a product of the choices that we've made up to this moment. We are, we are. We are here. We carry the joys we carry. We carry the problems we have because of the choices we've made up to now. But not only do we live in a world where we have to make constant decisions and have all these choices before us, we also live in a throwaway world. A world where things are made to be thrown away. We just use them and we discard them. And unfortunately, this also happens in our relationships. There's no exception there. We commit to relationships, but this commitment diminishes over time. And this is not new. This is not something that comes from a modern or a postmodern world. Our text that we've read this morning from Ruth tells the story of three women that illustrates the way in which we tend to respond to domestic problems and to crises that we face. So for the next this week, or for the next 2 weeks following, we'll be looking at these ladies and the choices they made. So today we began to look at Orpah. We look at this lady in red who's turned away and walking away, and she's the illustration of those amongst us who decide to walk away from established relationships. She walked away to pursue her happiness somewhere else. But I want you, as we examine her life, I want you to remember that she's just lost her husband. And not only she just lost her husband, she was encouraged by her own mother-in-law to leave this family unit, to leave this group of three ladies. And she was given this easy way out. So she simply departed. We're not so much concerned about her actions as we are concerned about her spirit. Unlike her sister-in-law Ruth, her attitude said, if things don't work out, I'll just walk out. I'll just walk away. And a desire to get to marry again was not a value argument for her to walk away from this family unit and go back to Moab. She could have remarried in Israel as easily as she could have found her husband in Moab. The problem with her seeking happiness in Moab was that she had to sacrifice the this existing relationship that she had with Ruth and Naomi and the responsibilities that goes along with it. Why is it that so many have the same attitude in their relationships, in their marriages, in their relationship with children, in their friendship, and all the other relationships we have in our places of work and wherever we go? Why is it that we have the same attitude? That like for Orpah, who this attractive option of just walking away seem to be the way that we want to do it as well? But if you compare what she's done here to the life she's been living, then this walking away from this relationship was very attractive to her. On the surface, it seems that the cutting her losses was the appealing thing to do. And it also seems that her needs could have been better met somewhere else. Specifically, as she, like so many people today, had two valid reasons to think that this might have been a better option. And the first reason was that the potential of fulfillment of unmet expectations. So she expected this expectations that she had for this first marriage, which didn't work out when her husband died and she was left destitute, there's a potential that it might have been fulfilled better at a different place. You know that we all enter into relationships with ulterior expectations. And when those emotional or physical needs are not met, frustration develops inside of us. And tension and stress starts to happen in a marriage and in other relationships. The other evening I watched CSI, I love those series, it's about CSI and how they solve these crimes and all these things. And there was a story of this one rich person who married a lady from the other side of town, and the expectation was that she was in this marriage with a rich guy. There's going to be lots of money. But he had a darker side to him, and he was a gambler, and he gambled all their money away. And so this lady's expectation of a rich life was not met. And Orpah had the same expectation for marriage that any of the couples who are married today would have. We all have expectations in our marriage. Expectations like marital bliss. And so she probably spent her entire life married to a guy who was sick, and she had to nurse this husband of hers. And for her, this was not a definition of a satisfying marriage. For that matter, none of us enters into a relationship expecting to give and to give and to give and not to receive. Then there's maternal joy. Most ancient cultures view children as the highest blessing of marriage. And even in the Jewish culture, that was the way their bloodline was taken forward. So for you to be blessed, you have to have a bloodline. But Orpah had no experience and no joy of being a mother. So like many frustrated couples who cannot have children, she had little hope in this present place and condition where she found herself to experience the type of joy that comes with motherhood. Then for her was also material security. The fact that Naomi was well known when she went back to Bethlehem probably indicated to us that they were well off people when they were in Bethlehem. And Orpah certainly knew the fact that going to marriage with Naomi's son Shilon, that she was going to be well taken care of. But when all the men in that family died, and the widows probably found themselves in a position where they had to sell property, sell their belongings, so that they could survive, because it was not like today. They just couldn't go out and start teaching again or go sell houses to make a living. They could not work. They had to have a husband to be taken care of. And so a life of poverty was not what she expected in her life of a relationship, of a marriage with Naomi's son. So this poor woman experienced one disappointment after another. The second reason why walking away must have been so attractive for her was if she walked away, there was this promise of excitement. Naomi wanted her daughters-in-law to find new husbands. Orpah saw this as a new beginning. Walking away from a covenant relationship was attractive to her because it offered the promise of a life without problems. But that was far from reality. Those who abandoned their God-ordained responsibilities experienced many more problems. And so Orpah, looking for this excitement, looking for this freedom from responsibility of looking after her mother-in-law Naomi, probably found herself in a place where she even had more problems to face. Because the old problems, her being a widow, was still there. But now she had more. She had no support, no one to support her morally. So even if walking away seemed like an acceptable option for her, and even if Naomi encouraged Orpah to leave, this was the wrong decision. This was the wrong choice. Naomi encourages her to leave, saying to her, go back to your gods. That means leaving God for pagan gods. Naomi said to her, it's okay to walk away from your responsibility. But don't be too hard on Naomi either. For she was speaking through her own pain. It seems that love, or maybe compassion, motivated Naomi. But the central issue remained. Orpah's exit, even though it was acceptable to Naomi and encouraged, Orpah's exit, based on the fact that she was just seeking happiness, was not the right decision. Even today, people suggest that God wants us to be happy. So therefore, he doesn't want us to be in a marriage that's unhappy. And I've even heard some people saying, you know what? God said, you have the right to be happy. You can leave an unhappy marriage. And then there's the perspective that everyone is doing it. So if that's the attitude, why can't I do it? But this is not a justification to release us from obligations. At this point, we must remember that legality and morality are not always synonymous. Of course, there are cases where spouses are abused and where there's adultery, and then that's different. But God sanctioned marriages, and he said, till death do you part. And so we even say before God, till death do us part. So when walking away seems like an easy option, we must be careful of the choice we make. Orpah walked away because a door was left open for her. It was possible for her to exit. And her tears when she cried when she walked away testified against her. She embraced the I love you part and that attitude. But you know what? Sentiment without commitment is a shallow profession. It's a shallow profession. In the end, Orpah personifies those who decide to walk away to find happiness elsewhere, while Scripture actually teaches us something else. And Scripture is actually silent about the rest of the life of Orpah. So we don't know if she ever found the happiness she sought. She probably never did. Because if she could not commit to a relationship, if she could not work on a relationship and understand the value of commitment, she would have always been seeking happiness. You know that the saying goes, a good marriage is a happy marriage, or supposed to be. I've always thought that happy is a slightly misleading word. Some people think that happiness implies only good things without any bad mixed in it. That's true, of course, but happiness can imply more than just good things. It's a second happiness that includes both good and bad. This is a deeper happiness. It's what I like to call, it's a great happiness. And this happiness implies that there's a thread of pain weave throughout the pleasure that we find in happiness. And this creates a fabric that makes a cloak for us, a cloak that's for the wise amongst us. You know, bad things happen. Bad things are inevitable. It comes in our way. And for us to accept that things might not be that easy at all times in our relationships, it's a kind of wisdom that we need to have. You know this Afrikaans saying that goes like this, it says, "Dit gaan nie altyd maanskyn en rose wees nie." When you marry someone, when you're in a relationship with someone, dit gaan nie altyd maanskyn en rose wees nie. There are going to be times when we're going to find ourselves in a difficult place. So to bring this together for you this morning, you might be thinking I'm talking about marriages here, but I'm actually talking about a relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus compares our relationship with Him as the same as a relationship that we find in a marriage. Jesus compares us, and then He compares us and He tells us that He is our groom and we His bride. And in the same as what we do in our marriages, we have to work on this relationship. We have to put something into it to make it successful. And the more time we spend with our partner, our groom, the more time we spend with Jesus, the stronger and better our relationship with Him becomes. But, like what I always say when I work with couples, do you know what's important in your relationship as couples? It's important that you always put your spouse, your partner, before yourself. If my wife's needs comes before my own, if I look out for her before I put myself first, if I focus my life not on what I want and on my needs, but rather on her needs and what she wants, then we will have a wonderful relationship. Especially if she does the same for me. If I continuously just look out for her and she for me, then we will have a wonderful relationship. And this is what Jesus does for us. He puts us first. So much so that He took His sin, our sin upon Him. He was blameless. And He took our sin. And He went and He said, "I will die for you because I put you first. I put you first." What do we do for our groom in return? Most of us. Okay, let me rephrase that. None of us here will cheat on our spouses. I'm looking for those ones who get a smile on their face. None of us, hopefully, here will cheat on our spouses. Why then do we cheat on Jesus? Why do we, like the 70 disciples, or even more, turn away from Him? Especially where we are the ones in this relationship who are not always the ones who are faithful. When we are the ones who are flirting with the darkness. When we are the ones who commits adultery when we embrace a sin. Harry will love this one. You know, there's an old country and western song written by Mel Tills, and this song was made famous by Kenny Rogers. And the lines in this song, which I always remember since I used to love country western when I was a little boy. I still love it. The lines in the song goes like this. Oh Ruby, please don't take your love to town. You know that song? You know that song, Harry? It's a song about, they think it's a Vietnam veteran, and this guy's in a wheelchair, and he sees his wife paint herself up, and then he hears a door slams as he goes out to the night, and he pleads to her. He pleads to her, oh Ruby, don't take your love to town. And she goes out and she searches for love, while the love is at home. It's just not the love that she perceives. And I was thinking, are we not in a sense a little bit like Ruby? People, it seems, are chasing gratification at the cost of real love. While Jesus is waiting at home for us, his unfaithful bride is taking her love to town. But this is the good news I have for you. It's not too late. Not yet. When the disciples deserted Jesus, when they took their love to town, Jesus asked the 12 who remained, and he asked them, do you also want to leave? You see, they had a choice. Do they stay, or do they walk away with the rest of them? And so Simon Peter answered Jesus, saying, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go when you have this for us? You see, Jesus did not adapt the gospel of the good news of salvation so that all the disciples would stay. He stood on the truth, and the 70 or more decided to walk away from the truth, and the 12 decided to stay. And unlike Ruby's husband, who was in no place to prevent her from taking her love to town, Jesus can stop us, but he gives us the freedom of choice. So your choice, our choice, should be not to walk away like Orpah did and most of the disciples did, not to take our love to town like Ruby did. Our choice should be to stay with the groom, to be faithful to him, and so to discover real happiness, that deep happiness that comes from a lasting relationship with a faithful partner. A partner who is ready to forgive us for our adultery. A partner who is ready to forgive us for the times that we've been unfaithful to him. A partner who's here waiting for us at home. That's our message for this morning. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you remind us through your word that we are unfaithful at times. Lord, we just thank you that we know, like with the prodigal son, you are still at home waiting for us to return. Lord, we just thank you that you continuously call us and pull us back to you. Lord, that your love is so strong for us that you grab us and you pull us closer and closer all the time. Father, we thank you that your grace is so in so much abundance that even though we have been unfaithful, that you still want us to come back. Lord, and so this morning we just thank you that you have grabbed us, and that we are back with you, and that you love us, and that you've forgiven us for all that we've done that was bringing about adultery and unfaithfulness to you. Father, we pray that you would just strengthen this sense in us that you want us back, that we will never ever leave your side again. In Jesus' name we pray this.